Welcome to the podcast, Old Friends and New, put on by the Christ Church Ladies Fellowship here in Moscow, Idaho for the Bible Reading Challenge. My name is Catherine Church, and I am filling in for Christine Lamaro. I was chatting with my sister, who is on the podcast today, about the Bible Reading Challenge, and that it's interesting, year three, we've gotten used to this level of six chapters a day, and that it really isn't that much time. And so that adjustment can actually be a hindrance, thinking, oh yeah, that's not that much time because I can get that in later. I can just wait and I'll get it done later. So it allows this mental game of, oh, well, pushing it off. Instead, we still need to be vigilantly coming and jumping back in because it's just one more reason or one more excuse to let the Bible reading slip. And when we want to be constantly saturated with it. And that's that great element of that jump back in rather than fall off the wagon and stay off the wagon by the side of the road. But today on the podcast, we have my sister, Carolyn Wilson, and Gwen Burrow. Carolyn and her husband moved back to the area a few years ago from England. Her three kids were born over there. She got married and moved over there. And we're thrilled to have them about 10 minutes down the road in a little town called Troy. And Gwen lives here in Moscow. She's attending New St. Andrews for her master's, I believe, and writes and works full-time and is a ton of energy, spearheading a big deal for the Christmas activities happening in our town, and just a lot of fun. So I'll let those ladies talk with you today.
Hi, welcome everybody to Facebook Live. I am Gwen.
And I'm Carolyn.
And I'm really excited to talk about Joshua, because... Uh-huh. I think people have been commenting on Facebook, and I love all these comments, especially about reading Joshua and Acts together, because there are so many fun parallels about, I mean, I could just launch into a whole essay right here and I can't, but I love how optimistic it is. You've got the parallels of Moses having delivered the people through, you know, God working through Moses from Egypt, and then they reach Canaan and they fail. Yeah. And then, but so 40 years later, they're finally getting in to conquer the land. And then you have that whole history relived, but the right way, you know, sped up in the life of Jesus, where he goes through the testing in the wilderness, successfully delivers his people. And now it's up to, he is the new Joshua, but he's working through his 12 and his, and more than 12 through the church, who is the new Israel, in conquering the land, which has become the world. And it's just so, so fantastic and optimistic because, obviously there's differences in the Old Testament. You've got what conquest looked like given the history then was, a lot of time just like destroy it all because it is all pagan. It is all gone. And there's more that I could go into there, but in brief, it all needs to be destroyed. And then in the New Testament, the new covenant equivalent is the whole world needs to be destroyed, but not in a fire and brimstone or total death way. It is the death of the old man.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. No, I had actually some of the same thoughts. I'm like, oh, look, ooh.
Gwen and so I many see, parallels.
This is dangerous. We're both like total history freaks. Yeah. And so we're doing this together, ladies and gentlemen. You're really lucky.
You're missing our third person, but I think we were debating, like, could we actually hold a conversation by ourselves? I think we can.
Gosh, I think so.
I think we
as
can.
As long as we don't do it the way we often talk.
We just talk at the same time.
And it works for
just
us.
Just see who shouts louder. Yeah. Anyway, back to Joshua and Acts.
Gwen likes to keep us way more on track. I'm the teacher. I don't know. Anyway, but yes, Joshua and Acts, I had the same thoughts, so I'm like heartily seconding everything Gwen is saying here because I'm like, oh yeah, because again, I'm a complete nerd when it comes to historical parallels and you know, especially in scripture.
Literary parallels.
Yes, I love it, and just going to geek out about it. And then to go, this actually happened. That's the other thing that always happens to me. I'm like, I was sitting here going, yeah, okay, the equivalent of marching around the walls and having the walls collapse, the Holy Spirit has come.
Yes.
And boom, it's now
all. We're all Jericho.
Here we go. Yeah, we've been conquered.
The old man never to be rebuilt.
Yes, exactly. And then you've, and you've got all these parallels that way, but I was also thinking to myself, like, can you imagine being, not that you'd want to be one of the guys living in Jericho, and then day one, they do that. We've heard about these people.
This is eerie.
This is freaking me out.
Super eerie.
Yes. Of course, it seems like, what are they doing? And they're like, They're so darn confident, though. They're not doing anything but marching around and singing.
And see, no loud noises, which would have been uncommon.
But you've heard of Israel at this point.
Yeah.
Like, you're at the point of, of pretending to be foreigners. Some
well, because Clinton Rahab goes,
yeah,
know
she knows.
You,
she's heard of Jehovah.
Preserve us, because we're toast, obviously.
Yeah.
You're here. And I love that. Her faith was pretty astonishing.
I know. I love it. Well, I won't get into the sidetrack of sometimes it's good to tell a lie, because I know that some people go up, get up in arms about that. But one also thing, my dad's a pastor, and he's pointed out something I love about the book of Joshua or Deuteronomy and Exodus, where the people failed the first time. And there is also parallels for us in evangelizing. But he said it's striking because Israel at first is like, okay, Lord, you promised to give us the land. So they get to that border, they get freaked out, and they say, well, I thought you were going to, in essence, it's sort of like you were going to have to give it. You have to give it to us. You promised that you were going to give it to us, and here there are giants and we can't do it.
Yeah.
And God is like, I am giving it to you.
Yeah.
Go take it. Like, the point is a gift, but you have to go take it. And the people are like, needs to be more like manna, where it just comes down. And even there, they had to go gather it, so the metaphor breaks down. But I love just that so many times in life, God gives us a victory or gives us grace. So many things we can't even ask for. Like, my heart beats. I'm not doing anything to get to go get them. I just take them. But so many other things God has promised us, whether it's faithful children or fruitful marriages or peace in your country or whatever it is, you still have to go take it. You have to go do something to go get it. And that's not him going back on his word or his promises and what he
tells. No, and it's not works righteousness or anything like that. But it is, I mean, it's the classic, many of us have had the good teaching of, you know, okay, Lord, make this happen. And he gives you something and you're like,
I have to be an active character in this novel.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I can't just be passively here's my hand. You know. Yeah. And sometimes you see those precious little my hands are open. I'm like, yes,
and there are many
times around the thing and
you
do
need
it.
To go move.
Yes.
You need to go move.
Do the thing.
Yeah.
And everybody likes that verse it's toward the beginning of Joshua, be strong and courageous.
How many times is that said?
And I love it. And I'm like, but how many times do we see that on maybe motivational Christian posters with like, you know, sunrise?
You know, or a little baby lamb.
Yeah. And I'm
be
like,
courageous little baby lamb.
No. Can we see all of us like with dirt on our face and a shovel and
or puke on the floor and kids throwing up or
we can something in the area is happening.
Yes.
And we've all
a
been
little close
the fire.
To home.
Yes. But you know, but you deal with
it's
that.
Real life.
Or delayed flights for 5 million years or so it feels. Yes. I mean, whatever.
Whatever it is.
Be strong and courageous. Do not hit the TSA agent.
Yes.
You know, that.
Carolyn.
I know, Carolyn.
Actually, me and Gwen.
And Gwen.
Yes. Sometimes the most basic lessons in obedience.
Yeah, but it is. And he puts it right there. And that's when that verse, be strong and courageous, which also implies strong in your self control. Fruits of the spirit.
Yes.
Not just
all of it.
Go fighting the wars and, all the battles. It's be strong and courageous in controlling the battle with your soul.
The fear. The fear.
Ooh, good one.
Primarily, I think what made the Israelites balk is just it's fear / lack of trust in God, because when you're so afraid of something that you think he's not going to keep his promises and help you take that down those giants, it's like fear leads to so many different things.
Yeah.
Lack of trust in God and all that. Jumping into the New Testament, a little bit off the theme of parallelism so far, I love how many times the disciples, especially Peter, because he's been the one preaching predominantly so far, is preaching the resurrection as proof of the truth of their whole message. There's a lot of, in the 2,000 years since the resurrection, there's been a lot of debate and a lot of Christians get, I think, overly sidetracked in trying to prove the resurrection.
Yeah.
And I totally think there's time to go, so many people saw it, just like anybody, you know, they saw the pharaohs of Egypt and we don't doubt their existence, okay? So, but I think we don't want to get too sidetracked in that, because what the disciples do, they call themselves their first identity, their badge, so to speak, their reason, their authority for speaking is we are witnesses of his resurrection, and therefore that's how we know he is declared to be the Son of God with power. He is the Messiah that the Old Testament was talking about and that God promised, and that it's not up for debate, and it doesn't matter how many people try to say that the disciples just came and stole his body away. It doesn't matter how hard you try to tie the truth down. It will set people free if you just speak it. And we don't need to spend too much time trying to defend, trying to prove the proof. Like a proof is something that you don't prove. You use it to prove something else.
Yeah. Again, good teaching I've appreciated of we don't play on their playing field.
Yeah.
I don't need to go, yeah, here's the rules and you have to prove all the things. No, thanks. I'm not so much an evidentialist. No, I'm going to go with, he said this happened. It happened.
Right.
P.S. It's in the scripture. Speaking of that, I love how the Pharisees tell everyone, go tell them they stole his body. Okay. So this is not a new lie. This has been from the get-go.
From
here's
the
story
beginning.
We're all disseminating. Yes. And then we still get it several thousand years later. Oh, they probably stole his body. Oh, so you're buying that still.
Yes.
See this? See who you are?
Yeah.
Oh,
see. You just identified yourself in the story.
Congrats.
And we don't like you very much.
Gullible. Well, and even your point there, like here's Gamaliel?
Gamaliel.
Who goes, hey, you know what? Let's all chill on this because we've seen these guys rise
just
up
see
before,
how it play out.
And then they die and then it all peters out.
Right.
And, but he does even have the point where he's like, but if it is true, we'd
wait,
be toast.
Doesn't that matter?
We would be so toast if we do this.
I know.
Let's just all leave it alone. I'm sure we'll all chill out.
And I think, I liked his point. I'm sure there are studies that kind of trace whether he became ultimately
a
Christian.
I know if
but his principle of like, let's see whether this is from man or from God. And because we don't want to ignore it if it's the real deal.
Yeah.
So I liked his principle. It's just like, guys, everybody simmer down.
Yeah.
If it's not supposed to last, it won't. It'll
but if
just
it
burn
is
out
from
like
God,
the last one.
Which apparently nobody else is paying attention to.
Yeah.
So I'm glad he was there. It's somebody in the scripture. Like, if it is the Lord's, we all need to back off. And after just reading Joshua, you're like, remember those? Yeah, maybe you wanna
remember the God you serve?
Yeah.
Yes.
It says the walls fall flat, P.S. And I hope nobody was on the,
the other side. Well, I can't remember where I found this. It was in some sort of non-biblical text, but it was a history book that went back there and they discovered the ruins of Jericho and the walls are falling out.
Yeah.
I think, right?
I think it was out.
It was the weird, like normally, like under a siege or something, or just naturally things fall in.
Yeah.
And this is out. And it's just sort of, I wonder what kind of divinic power was in charge of this situation.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, especially we're talking ancient walls, you guys. Like,
thick.
You could
thick.
Write chariots
you could,
on the top of these things. You know, picture Wall of China if you need modern, things.
Wow.
And then you can, jumping into the parallel of our hearts. Like, that's how hard our hearts
that's
are.
That's true.
Only works,
that is
know?
True.
And so the
sometimes
the
it takes way longer than 7 days.
Yeah. even stubborn Christians, stubbornness is not a problem I struggle with. But.
Yes. At all.
No.
what?
No. But yeah, no. And obviously, here's speaking of that, if I could just smoothly segue into how.
Let's segue
Peter,
back into truth.
Here's Peter being stubborn. You know, I won't betray you. I won't mess with you. You know, that sort of thing.
We've got company.
We have company. But,
We've got wireless connections here. Pardon us on the podcast as we try to figure this out. Carolyn does live out in the wilderness of Troy, Idaho.
The moose.
We might be done.
This might be a hint. We were going pretty well. So
I think we probably just need to wrap that up.
We will wrap it up.
This internet
is not our friend. Those of you watching, I'm sorry. If you're listening, yay for you.
Wait, Carolyn was running out of truth anyway. She was calling herself not stubborn, which is like
lying her face off. I was going to make the point that here's Peter, Mr. I won't deny you three times, and then totally blows it.
Yes.
And you feel for him. And then, like you said earlier, he's totally.
He's the one who's now proclaiming
stalwart,
everything. Yeah. All right, guys. Thanks for joining us. Hope to see you guys again next week with whoever is going to be leading it. You guys can check this. I don't know if we publish this how much ahead of time. I think a day, maybe the day of. But cheers and happy reading. Bye.